This morning, I'm continuing through 2 Corinthians 1:11, and I'm preaching on prayer. Preaching on God's will that you pray. I'm praying for help. I'm prayer being real help, which is really from you to help others when you do it. And also on answers being blessing gifts of privilege that are bestowed by God. And they're privileges. They are blessings. And I'm also then, with that, praying on thanksgiving being the honor and the recognition that God deserves in respect to his answers. And the main thing, you need to pray, and then you need to pray some more. In 1:8-10, Paul explained the affliction the apostles experienced, and he said they were burdened excessively beyond their strength to the point that even they despaired of life. He said they had the sentence of death within them so that they would not trust in themselves, but in God who raises the dead. And with that trust, Paul mentioned that God had already delivered them from a peril of death before. And now Paul trusted that God was going to deliver them again as the one that they set their hope in. And then comes 1:11. It's got an important point about all this deliverance Paul was trusting God to bring about. Paul said in respect to God's deliverance that it involved, and I'm going to read it now, you also joining in helping us through your prayers. Now, that's a very key statement. And then Paul says why. He says next, so that thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf, the apostles' behalf, for the blessing gift bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And very interesting, right?
Amen.
So prepare your heart for this sermon. Pray for help and thank God. And let's pray now. Lord, I ask that you bless us with your word. Bless us to internalize this. Take it in, internalize it, and then use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. In this sermon, one of the main things is that we need to understand is that we, me, you should be praying Christians. Not just occasionally, not just randomly, or just ceremonially. Because a lot of people, they only pray in these certain situations. Occasionally, randomly, or ceremonially. You should be someone who prays all the time in true conversational focus on your listening and your caring Father in heaven. Over and over, God tells you in his word, so many passages, not just this one that I've read, he says he wants you to pray to him. And he shows you that it should be more than a random afterthought, more than only doing it in the most pressing emergencies. Prayer should be your forethought. Something you think about often, something that you are intuitively flowing in because you know you are consciously tapping into God, you're seeking his help. And if you have not been doing this, you must develop a prayer mindset. Now, what do I mean by a mindset? Think of something like having a health mindset or having like a money mindset, money-making mindset. With a health mindset, you think about health as part of your life in terms of making sure you get enough sleep, that you eat the right foods, that you get exercise, that you avoid unhealthy things. And a money-making mindset thinks about business and investments, saving, budget, and so forth on a continuous basis. A prayer mindset has prayer like this as part of your thinking. So develop it. Do things to perfect your mindset. You know, it's a good idea to have a prayer list or prayer lists to guide you. You can keep a prayer journal. Doesn't need to be complicated. Prayer lists, alerts on your phone, sticky notes, calendar entries, if you got a dry erase board. They're all reminders of details to be praying, things that you can forget very easily. Anything helping you keep track of prayer needs or even prayer answers enables your mindset to be more effective. Don't do like one Christian said to me, that she does not use prayer lists because she said she's led by the Spirit. Well, that would mean that those who do are somehow not led by the Spirit to do so. And more, the apostles gave lists of things to be prayed for as leading of the Holy Spirit. Prayer lists, prayer reminders, are not things that stop you from being led or even diminish being led by the Spirit. They are used by the Spirit for your prayer mindset to be effective by keeping track. Reminding others to pray is the same way. Sometimes people just need to be reminded to pray. Paul the Apostle did this dozens of times in his epistles. He reminded people to pray about certain things. I'm doing it right now. And there's something else to do. As a praying Christian, you can pray in all different kinds of ways. You know, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to fold your hands. You don't have to be on your knees. Those are reverential things. But you can pray in other ways if you want and be just as reverential. You're just not acting out certain traditions. I mean, you can have your eyes open and be reverential. You can have your hands at your sides or raised up to heaven. You can pray so many ways. While you're walking, you can pray aloud or silently. You can pray aloud when you're alone, like when you're driving or you're walking. You can always pray silently. Use your thoughts. Use your thoughts. God knows your thoughts. You're talking to him with your mind. Pray at any time, pretty much just about anywhere. You can pray on the job, at the store, in recreation, right in the middle of doing all kinds of tasks. I found that even when I'm busy, I can find moments to talk to God and still keep track of the rest. And there are times that I'll be talking with someone, and I'll be praying with my thoughts. You can think of so many ways to pray and so many pockets of times to do it. Thing is, do it. And one of the reasons God's word urges you to do this is because it's so easy. In our human nature, it's so easy to forego prayer. Now, rarely do I find Christians who think they pray too much. But I know multitudes of Christians who think they don't pray enough. You can always, always, always pray more than you do. And also, pray with others. You know, when the opportunity comes to pray with someone, you might be shy about praying aloud. Well, just tell whoever it is, I'll pray silently. And do it. Find people to pray with. And when you hear a prayer need from someone, start making your practice to just do it. Do it immediately. Pray right then and there. Doesn't need to be long and drawn out. Seriously, just think about this. You're talking to God. Get to the need, give the request to God, and go on. Make your own prayer requests known to others. This is what Paul did here in our passage. Pray together with people for God to intercede. It's a mindset of prayer at work. And there's something there in verse 11 that I really want us to glean that's interesting here. If you don't know exactly what to pray, start with asking for help. Everyone needs help. Praying for help is biblical. The apostles needed help. See, you need help, we need help. Pray for help. Recognize that prayer is an important way that God has ordained to get things done. Paul said, join in helping us through your prayers. Two things there. There's help, and he's asking people to help him by seeking God to help him. So God wants you to ask for help, so don't hesitate. Maybe you've heard that God will supply all your needs, but not all your wants. Well, don't get bogged down in trying to sift through whether something is a need or a want. It doesn't matter whether you can figure it out. Why am I saying that? Because just trust God to figure it out, you know? What you know is that God's help is good, right? You know that. So ask for it. He'll decide what is a want or a need. And pray for whatever you think is good to the best of your biblical understanding. Just use the Bible as your overall guide. And by the way, when I say that, it's not very deep. Since God's help is always good, and he always knows what is truly good, and he knows what answer is the best in his grand scheme, just trust him. And don't just pray for help in little things or things you think are easy. Paul shows that his prayer was for God to deliver him from insurmountable circumstances. Pray to God for help in things which seem impossible for you, yet possible with God. I've asked God for help because he's the only one who could do anything about it. And he did so in his own powerful ways. I've seen supernatural provisions, even miracles, as God's help. Pray for help in financial situations that your means and your budget just can't cover. Pray for health issues. Pray for God to help you make good decisions. The thing is to pray biblically. And biblical parameters are pretty simple. Basically, avoid praying for sin. Avoid praying for foolishness. And pray with respect for God's will. You know, that's what Jesus did when he prayed for help. He said to the Father, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." It takes the faith of trust, by the way, to say that. And it's required for prayer. You're going to the one you have faith in. You're going to the one you have trust in, right? So that's what's required, that you pray in the faith of trust. It's believing God answers with the best answer in the grand scheme of things. That's the prayer of faith, the faith of trust. Go to your Father like a child. And then respect whatever his answer is. But the main point is ask. It can be to help you with your own efforts, you know. It can be help which ask God, just do it all, please, Lord. Don't hold back. And get in the habit of doing this for others. Praying for your own self is instinctive. It needs to be the same way when it comes to praying for others. God wants you to see yourself as helping others by seeking God's help for others. It's called intercessory prayer. This is what Paul was asking for. Paul and the apostles could have prayed for themselves. But there's a whole point that he's making here. And so when you find out about concerns of others, when you find out about needs they have, that's your agenda. It's not very deep either. It's simple. Everyone needs help in some area. So be aware, actually look for it and pray. And when you seek God to help others, know that you are truly operating in your calling. You have a very important ministry to seek this help for others. Hebrews 4:16 explains going to God who has grace, doing so with confidence to receive mercy and find grace to help you in time of need. What you're doing is you're seeking the same mercy and grace to help others in their time of need. Prayer is one of the spiritual gifts that God has given all of us to be able to have to help others. Now, unlike many of the other gifts of the Spirit, you find them like in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians. The ability to pray is universally bestowed on all Christians. And in 1 Corinthians 12, and then even through chapter 14, it tells you that the gifts of the Spirit are actually given to be used to help others. But to operate in our shared ministry gift of prayer, we all have it, you're going to have to be others-oriented. If you're not sensitive to the needs of the people around you, first of all, you need to find out what's going on with you, because this is the way God's designed the church and the body of Christ to be. If you're not sensitive to the needs of the around you, you are going to be wasting one of the easiest and effective ministry gifts you have. And God wants to use you in this. And when God uses you in prayer, who's the one praying? You. But you do know you pray by the Spirit. And so if you don't use it, you're not going to help them by asking God to help them. This is the thing about help, by the way. You might not know how to give a helping hand to someone, but you know prayer is your doable way for you to help, right? Given to you as a spiritual gift, it's a privilege, and an easy practice, which is such a powerful tap into God that it can move mountains. When you do it, be mindful of the answer being God's mercy and God's grace. His answer is always that. In other words, God's provision is purely his generosity. Paul called the help that came from God through the prayers of all those people, he called it God's blessing gift. Well, God will answer you with blessing gifts, but he answers in his own understanding of how mercy and grace is to be brought into the grand scheme of things. This means that God is not always going to answer the way that you want him to. Now, regardless of bad teaching, which says God's going to do whatever you claim because you believe he will, faith is not rubbing a genie bottle to make God answer the way you want him to. Faith, proper faith, believes God answers prayer. And you believe that, right? And he will answer your prayer request the way you want if it's also the way he wants to answer in his wider scope of sovereign orchestration. But the thing is that if God answers the way you want him to, always recognize that it's because it's purely a blessing gift of grace. Now, this is so important because when God does, your thanks is given beyond you getting something that you think you deserve. Your thanks to God is supposed to be that. Here's what it is. It's thanks which understands that his help came, but came as something that he bestowed in his kindness, his wisdom, his grace, his kind wisdom. And so thanksgiving gives credit to God for his provision and his mercy in it all. It's the honor and recognition that he deserves. So here's what you do on that. Get it right beforehand. Thank God beforehand for his answer. If you haven't been doing this, you need to start doing it. Thank God beforehand for his answer. I think one of the hardest faith tests there is has to do with accepting every single kind of answer that God has to prayer. It's a huge faith test. But more, thanking him for whatever he decides the answer will be. Yeah, I mean, it's thanks at every level. I cannot tell you how common that I've noticed it to be that Christians pray asking for help, right? Prayer requests. We ask for help. We ask for help. And then we pray about it, right? Then the help comes. But then it seems like everyone forgot that God was prayed to beforehand. Have you noticed how that happens like that? They start acting like it wasn't God's answer, that it was more like just, you know, randomness and chance, or it's giving credit to something or someone else for the answer. And it happens all the time. Stay mindful that God answered. Give him glory first. Not the mechanic that fixed your car, not the doctor that gave you the surgery, not whatever. Give God the glory first that he answered. He used those things, but he answered. So that you're going to stay giving him the thanks he deserves. Remember, thanks beforehand, and then thanks while, and then thanks afterhand. Now with Paul, he wanted thanks to be given to God by a whole bunch of people, by a group. And so he said he was looking to thanks to actually be multiplied. This is so interesting. Multiplied to God by a larger number than just himself and the apostolic team. The more people involved in group prayer and seeking God for the help about a particular thing, the more people there are who take part in the shared thanks for the blessing gift of grace. Everyone involved has petitioned God. So what happens when the answer comes? Everyone recognizes it. And when they pray properly and properly give credit where credit is due, remember, that's what we're going to start nurturing, that habit. It's more than a habit. It's the right mindset. What happens is that everyone knows they should be thankful for what they recognize, what they've seen happen. And amazingly, which is something we cannot miss about Paul's point, is that he said the giving of thanks to God was just as much a main focus as the prayer itself, the thanks to God. So Paul was looking ahead to the worship to come as a result of the help of prayer, securing his deliverance by God's hand. He saw all of it that way. Listen, this is what he saw. He saw prayer as an expression of worship. You see that? And he saw the thanksgiving to God to be worship. And the prayer for help is worship because it recognizes God as the one who does it. It's worship at every point. But it also recognizes a very important point about all of us. We are needy. You're needy, I'm needy. We are needy and insufficient to handle the world of sin. And so every time you pray for help, you're worshiping God who is never needy. The one who can handle anything. Especially this world of sin. Thanks continues the worship as acknowledgement of his grace in time of need, as I read in Hebrews. But this detail that Paul wanted prayer help from others for the purpose of it leading to everyone multiplying thanks was not a one-time desire. So I'm trying to lay out now is that it's a principle. He repeats the principle later in chapter 4, verse 15. It's 2 Corinthians 4:15. Talking about everything the apostles went through in ministering the gospel, Paul said to the Corinthian church that all things are for your sakes, so that the grace of salvation, which is spreading to more and more people, would cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Well, there it is again, see? And when I think about this, I know that gospel ministry is for the Lord's sake, right? But don't miss the detail there, that the grace gift of salvation spreading to more and more people would cause, he said it was so that it would cause the Corinthians to give thanks to God. There's multifaceted purposes for things in this world, things that God's doing with our lives. But more, he said this, that through many people the thanksgivings would increase, they would abound, which means worship was increasing among the body while salvation was increasing through evangelism. That's the principle. A little later in 9:11, it's all in the same epistle. Paul said something similar. And this time it's in respect to the Corinthians giving financially. He said that by giving to meet financial needs, that God, because of their giving, will enrich them in everything to give a whole lot more in all kinds of ways, he said, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Well, that's the principle. Being equipped by God to give more abundantly brings thanksgiving to God. But Paul really lays out the principle next in 9:12, same chapter. He says, for the ministry of this giving service is not only fully supplying the money needed, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. There's the thanksgivings being multiplied again. It's the multiplied increase. Many thanksgivings to God. It's overflowing, worshipful appreciation. Thanks. Now listen, Paul wrapped it up saying what's going to be produced in others. So he says in 9:13, because of the financial donation, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. And so glorifying God gets spread and spread. From the starting point of glorifying God because of the obedience of the Corinthians to the gospel, and also glorifying God for the Corinthians' generous giving to meet financial needs. So in this phrase, by the way, that Paul makes here, speaking of God delivering him with the Corinthians, joining in helping the apostles through their prayers so that thanks may be given by many, many, many people. Paul literally said that it's so that thanks may be given, this is how the Greek is, by many faces. Well, instead of many Christians turning their faces to man's effort or to false notions of fate or blind chance and all that kind of stuff, the members of the body turn their faces toward God who supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory. That's the issue. It's many faces turned to God in direct recognition, thanks, and praise unto him whom the glory alone belongs for all answered prayer. We need to all make it our spiritual habit to join together in turning our faces toward God in prayer, in thanks, and consistent recognition. Now, I've been calling it tapping into God, and so a reminder is think of tap. Think of tap. T-A-P means turn and pray. Turn your face to him. Turn your thoughts to him and pray. In the midst of any situation, tap in. And concerning all that he does in respect to how he answers our prayers, join with others and everyone, turning all of our faces toward God in thanksgiving. But what about when God does not answer the way that you want him to? I mean, there are things. Does it mean that he's turned his face away from you? No. If you've been praying regularly, as you should be, you will get a lot of no answers from God. And yes, this happens while being led by the Spirit in prayer. Happens to all Christians. God's not turning away. He's just answering in his wisdom way. And if you think you see more no answers than you do yes answers, don't think that God's given you a life sign about your prayer life that, you know, somehow no answers mean you should stop seeking yes answers of help. No, it's not what God says. It's not what he's thinking about you. And if you think he does, you're making up a doctrine that's not biblical. It's not true. It's not your relationship. It's not real. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18 tells you straight out saying, pray without ceasing. All the time, like I've been teaching. Over and over. In everything it says, give thanks. Everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, it says. So your call is to pray without ceasing, regardless of the way any other prayers have been answered. That's it. Giving thanks in everything means in both the yes answers and the no answers. Trust God's sovereignty with the ultimate understanding. Your calling, mine, is to trust him enough to keep praying and keep being thankful. Remember, we're thanking him beforehand. Step out in faith. Give thanks in the things that you don't understand. They don't make sense through earthly eyes. What I'm saying is something that human nature fights against with all of its, everything that it has. But walking by faith and not by sight in this is what triumphs over the flesh's battle. It's truly trusting God, and it means continuance and continuing. That's what we do. Paul said the same thing in Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So he's saying what I've brought out before in all these passages. Thank God beforehand. Thank God while you're praying. You haven't even gotten the answer yet. See, the devotion and the attitude is not because you see the result first. Philippians 4:6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You know, don't let your request be made known to God and then you stick around for a couple of days and then you finally decide whether or not you're going to thank God. No. It's thanking him about every answer. Same thing. Giving the thanksgiving at the same time that you let your request be made known to him, not only after you find out what the answer is. And you decide whether you like it or not. It's walking according to the eyes of faith while gazing at the bigger picture. And what you're doing, this is brought out already, but you're worshiping God by thanking him beforehand for whatever his answer will be. And I want to add this. When others in the body see you thanking God in all things, they're learning from you. We're always teaching somebody something, by the way. And what you're operating as is a worship leader. Others see what you're doing, and they're learning what it means to take the faith walk seriously and consistently applying these biblical truths. And what you do is you strengthen their trust in God's goodness in everything, even if the circumstances hurt. And what they see in you, they may not have this depth coming from them yet and manifesting Christ, but they see you recognizing it with open arms. Even if God is determined not to make the circumstances or the hurts go away for you, they see you thanking him, embracing his ultimate will. You know, the normal and expected way that you're supposed to honor God must be more than something that you only point to in the lives of the early Christians. God says he doesn't want you to look at the examples of just biblical characters alone and stay astonished on the way they trusted God with everything. He says he wants you to be that person. That's what they're teaching you to be. And so unless these truths are taught to a compromising generation of Christians, what's going to happen is they disappear from practical life. And you keep them alive. The sermon keeps it alive. Your demonstration of it keeps it alive. So remember, prayer and thanks are two things that you can always do. So part of what the Spirit says as a living example is to be yourself, but to be yourself as this, as a prayerful person, a prayer-minded person. So remember this morning, no matter what's happening, the Lord says you must pray. And he says you must pray a lot. Pray to get help from him. Pray for others in the same way. Help them by seeking God to help them. Always recognize that God's provisions are blessing gifts bestowed by him, and they come by grace. And whatever God's answer is, give thanks to him in the honor and the recognition he deserves in respect to his sovereign determination for his answers. Amen.